County Commission, September 19, 2013, for your recent order. First thing, thank y'all for coming. Appreciate it. I apologize, Linda, I have not looked at
the changes
were made. But as I understand it, at least from the tentative suggestions that we have, and everybody needs to bear in mind that that's all this is. Template that we're working from is some tentative suggestions that hopefully we can all work on and come to consensus on a final document. I have to start this off real quick, Linda's handed me an email from Joanna Jasper, and it talks about training expenses. And apparently, since I was talking about wanting to put in an agenda of paid receipt, what this is alluding to is there have been some items that were turned in to the auditor's office for payment of support, the intended training. But there was no disclosure of what the training was. And the point to us from the audit was we need to be a little more specific about what we're paying dollars out for. Not that it's a big deal, but if it's us, then it's the county commissioner's annual training. We just need to designate what it is. It's important. We need to do something perhaps similar. Unless somebody has objection here, we might state that. But that's, she'd asked this question. Also, they need to disclose where they went rather than just saying, I traveled 300 miles. That's not specific enough for an expense reimbursement. And it looks like we all agree with that. So I don't see that this is a big deal. It's just something that we should tighten up a little bit. I can't imagine that we have many people that have done it this way the most, but I see them in there and realize ridiculous about what they turn in. But I want to give it back to you. Where are we, Linda? There's an officer head in comments that y'all want to start with. Let me go down with you. About anything, about the process.
That's kind of how we did last time.
I've got one that I've kind of been putting off. It's, I assume we're going to leave this parking recommendations.
Where are you in the book specifically?
Section 7-4.
Yeah,
okay. It wasn't mentioned last time we met. I think it's the same as it was when I was here a few years ago.
It's worded a little differently.
Yeah, I read it just now, and then 7-4. And it relates to our office, but we've got some folks that park out on the street there. And my background as a small businessman, that's not a good thing. And we're small business people, so to speak, for
over the years, serving the public. Complaints on that.
And there's times that, anyway, I'm just curious whether there was any thoughts of changing that. Or, it looks good to me, and I don't know if y'all are the same mind yet.
When we addressed it time ago, Ron, a year and a half, didn't we find out that we couldn't necessarily tell them that
we can't
park on the highway? But
can
a supervisor or an elected official say to their office, I don't want you to do that? And make it their rule?
It's just understood in closures up if they don't survey.
That's what I did. Mean.
We have people like Karen and Bailey and Beth Ann and have to say they have to park so far. And we would check and see what's happening.
This was more of a problem before we built the facility, before we had.
It was a major problem.
Before we had parking to accommodate courts and things like that. And this has been in here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Trying to mess with this stuff.
It's still,
I work on it.
Yeah. You can go out there and look at the stuff. You can go out there and look at the parking lot. And you can replace it. You can look at it out of there. Office units, the clothes. Just for elderly people just trying to get into their stuff.
And I remember the issue that it's public parking. I mean, you can't, they have tried to park there.
Yeah, I can understand them. You know, like some of the road and bridge guys that come up here to the road and bridge office across the street, they're dropping stuff off or something. They just pull in there and use it. That's one thing. But
different thing. Yeah.
The employees are
park for today.
Be here all day long.
I really never understood how it's any closer to park there and just walk in to there and park right
in the
here. And say to park in front of the office there on 1-2 and walk into the courthouse there and to park right here in the parking lot right over here and just walk right here. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen them make an advantage to it. And also when it's snowing, we park up there like that. You know, when the stuff else comes through, you think, we won't protect you if you're parking over here, and if you are parked up here.
Both of them can walk in the woods.
Thank you.
He's looking right at me when he said it.
No, I'm not looking around the cell. That's why my truck's parked down there.
Others? Starting comments from the officers before?
One thing, we're on that page, and I've got it highlighted okay. here, under 7-2, talks about the use of alcohol and the dangerous stuff, explosives and stuff. Prior there, in the areas, it says all full-time employees and part-time active employees. We've also talked about temporary employees. We probably ought to add that. It's also otherwise temporary can come drunk or whatever. We can't do nothing about
it. Okay. Gotcha.
And working under the influence of alcohol, when you've got alcohol or illegal drugs, of course, there's times that our guys, if they're out buying dope or something, they may sit and drink a beer with somebody.
I think that's in the substance abuse policy.
It's in other areas.
So maybe I should say the substance abuse policy for
Sheriff's Department, or deputy, or sheriff. Well, it's covered there.
It is covered.
Here it is. Here it is. Yeah, I knew it was covered back here. And then I want to bring up another part there. Firearms.
Okay.
Concealed carry. People, you going to allow them employees to conceal carry?
We, as a commission, have not had a discussion. We need to have a discussion about this building.
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, I mean, there may be some policy from years past. I'm looking to do perhaps you two chapters to, if you remember. Now, I know the signs are on the door, but I think those have just carried over from years past when the jail was connected here in the sheriff's department. Is there a policy for this specifically?
I'm not aware of one. Mr. Hershen carried all the time on the commission run concealed and carried. I thought I might have to carry one to protect myself from him, but I didn't know.
No, it's breaking.
No, it's something that he has stated to us before, because we had Chuck and I had I know we're on paper here, so I'm we've had some heated conversation and some threats. Either ask for a deputy or something like that to come up. So those kind of issues. I, other than the signs on the door that we have out there with no firearms or whatever.
Personally, I think the firearms ought to be pulled out of there because, quite frankly, having people that are concealed carry people, if they want to carry here, that just reduces the risk of somebody walking in here and causing a problem.
You mean take this out?
You mean employees that are concealed carry?
Right.
I think we absolutely can discuss it. Who's that at?
Seven down.
One, two, three, four, five.
They're having that issue. They're wanting to put that in the bedroom also allow them to carry the...
It's in the state law that the school boards can allow the school officials to carry.
And on the federal law, they were trying to get that changed back. Now I can reconfirm.
Anytime you make a place a soft target like that, I mean, you're inviting trouble. And that's why people target the schools, is because they know that they're not going to meet any resistance. They can go in and do what they want for as long as they want until the law enforcement gets there.
It was suggested to me by the commissioner that I keep a weapon in the office.
Your office, I would think, would be one that should be of concern. Especially at the end of the year.
When I was acting at the security board of Tennessee, that was what we suggested. That, so the sheriff's office, we talked about, you know, that if that they wouldn't hear gunshot went off and protect the rest of the...
Well, and even if we do hear, if somebody calls, my guy's maybe 20 minutes from here. You know, of course I have to be able to respond pretty quickly.
But when someone uses those weapons, unless they were shooting, if we were just there to steal money, we'd run and take the money, right?
Yeah.
So the only time we'd ever want to pull a handgun is
if they pull a handgun on me, I'll
pull a handgun in the commission's office, they can go ahead, you go ahead and handcuff me. They pull a handgun in the commission's office, and I've got a weapon on me. I'm going to shoot. Yes, for somebody else to kill.
I'll do that. Thanks for that. But I'm just saying, you need to be trained.
I mean, that's a concern I have, because if you've got a weapon that's easy for somebody to take it away from you, I'm not strong enough to keep somebody from taking it yet, and I don't know that I can shoot for that.
If you don't think you can shoot somebody, you don't carry a weapon.
I mean, that's my fear. I was afraid.
If you don't think you can do it,
or if you even have concealed carry. I've got a training that I haven't gone through extra stuff to do. Brandon, we're going to address a potential policy to allow weapons within the courthouse facility. We'll have a discussion by getting the city with us and limit the policy.
How do you go about it?
You don't
want to shoot him, just call him.
You
want to
shoot him? Normally, you might not leave. I had a guy, he threatened to come back, and we ended up in the quarters. Didn't we, Bob? He was totally down with it. It was just
The guy or Bob?
That's what I said. I need to be clear on that. And when he left Bob's office, he informed us he'd be back, and he came back to the collector's office.
There's a lot of white people that came into this
room. For a couple of days, we watched for him. We really, because he promised us he'd be back.
Yeah, so someone tell me that you're going to shoot me if I didn't do so. Say a text on my sister. Yeah, I don't think I'd talk like that if I was you for the other kid, clean shirt.
So this guy
doesn't speak
his mother's brother. And the reason
that mom told
it was never that name.
Yeah, you, I mean, you guys, not the. most favorite of some people. You know, really.
So leave it as is so you meet?
Wait until they find out who's assessing the property.
Your employees have already had issues out in the field.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Linda?
Last time we basically went through. How we skipped. We started at 1, and I think we just went through 1 and 2 and 5 and 8 and 9, and then we skipped to 23 and 25 and 33. So, do you want to just go around and each one of you tell us what you have and do it that way, or do we want to go section by section? I'm ready either way.
I'd like to go section by section.
Okay.
And also,
Let's start back on 1.
On 1.
We'll lead us through that because if I'm not mistaken, there really wasn't any.
Okay. Did everybody get their changes that I had made from our last meeting? Okay. On section 1.1, the purpose of rules, we added that all department rules are under the commission and all office rules are under elected officials. On 1.6, we added the word course where needed. On 1.8, okay. Sorry. 1.6, you added the word course in two other places, in the political campaigns or solicit votes, funds or support.
And we wanted to make sure that the people out in the road signs
they can
do that, that they can't be coerced here.
Okay, we took out 1.8 totally. And that was all we did for one section 1. So is there anything else that we need to look at in this
section? The under retained rights.
Show me where it's at.
1.9, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Where it says the county, it goes on down.
Should it be elected officials?
Yeah, I think that'd probably be better.
Rather than the county?
Because it says, you know, to hire, promote, demote, everything.
Okay.
If it said elected officials should retain the sole right and authority to operate and direct the affairs of individual departments or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all their various aspects.
Yeah.
Among these rights are the county's rights to determine its mission. That is the county's mission. It says standards of service on the department. That would be done through this book that we all agree to.
Okay.
Direct the working forces. Among these rights are the elected officials' right to determine their individual missions, perhaps. I agree with Jimmy. I think that it should be changed from county to elected officials because each elected official has their own responsibilities and obligations to oversee their own offices.
Okay.
So on the second sentence among these rights are the elected officials' right to determine their mission.
Well, let's let Linda come back to us with some different
language
so she can
verbiage.
Check some of here. See what looks good.
That's okay. Fine.
Section 2. Amendment of these rules and regulations shall be approved by the majority vote of the county commission. Should we add the elected officials for our own?
I think that the policy has to be finally approved by the county
committee. Okay.
We're going to seek you all's thoughts on it. That's why we're in this process at the end.
Okay.
Section 2, the changes that were made to Section 2.3, reference checking. We added that reference checking would be done by elected officials as well as HR. And then 2.4, that pre-employment.
Can we have you do it, that we pay for it out of our budget? On the reference checking?
No, reference checking doesn't cost you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm thinking
pre-employment, drug test. We added that all employees could have this tested on Section 2.4. I had written down here that Jimmy disagrees, and that's the only note I have.
And I put a red
accent
to remind me.
2-4.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, pre-employment drug testing is required.
Oh, that was on.
Oh, that's because
pre-employment drug testing is required upon an offer of employment.
We were just.
I always tell them that we'll have to do a pre-employment drug screen before we can offer employment to you.
And we,
Because actually, if you offer them employment, then you have to, by federal law, you have to pay for them to go over, you have to pay them time to go do their pre-employment drug screen and all that too, because they are working for you.
No, they haven't started until they pass their test. Their employment is contingent upon passing that test.
On the drug test.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, this right here says pre-employment drug testing is required upon an offer of employment. So I offer you employment, then you go take your drug test.
But
again,
on certain days. Put conditional.
And that's what they're
conditional upon.
That's what their letters to their company.
In other words, it says pre-employment drug testing is required upon an offer of employment. So before they become employed, they have to be drug tested. That's how I interpret it.
That is. Correct.
Well, I just interpreted that.
He does.
It looks to me like you're offering them the employment, and then they're going to go take their drug test.
Contingent.
So if you're offering them the employment, they're working for you right at that point.
That's what you're saying. What if they put conditional in
so they show up to work and they don't get paid, even after they pass the drug test and everything, they don't come on the clock until
the
set time that she's.
Well, let me ask you this. You was having us pay them for time even coming over to fill out the paperwork with you for employment.
Well, it never did work that way. that's because I thought they were already on the clock when you did that. And if you want to do it that way, that's fine.
Well, I didn't want to do it that way. You're the one that said we have to do it that way.
But we're not doing it that way.
Okay.
They're not being paid for it.
Okay. And we have never done it that way until you told us we had to.
They're supposed to be paid for all work performed.
Exactly.
And we don't pay them for your orientation, for your orientation only. Everyone else does.
Well, the orientation is only after they're hired.
It's only after they're hired.
Which would be after the paperwork. I would
think. Paperwork is part of the work.
I can see Linda's point. After they get their drug test and they meet all your
time, I don't know what.
Forget it. Just leave it like it is.
I'll change the word contingent, and I'll add contingent instead of confirmed as negative.
And then I take a lot of times if we have the time, I'll take them around and show them the different office holders and say, "Don't talk to Jimmy.
He's got a gun."
No, I mean, yeah. Come on. Yeah, or Bob. Not like you.
Bob's you.
Bob ain't gonna tell you until he's ready to use it.
I think you're just
wording a little better.
I'll have to tell Wesley you start wearing a panda first.
Wearing it?
I've tried to shoot our gun. I am so scared of our gun. I would end up killing myself.
Well, just think of someone standing in front of you with a loaded gun, pointing at you and saying, I'm going to shoot you.
Not if you shoot yourself.
Let me know if you ever have a gun in your office.
That's what I'm afraid of. I tried it. I shook so bad I couldn't hit the trigger pull.
I feel a little different. You
will
that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing, right? If I'm shaking, I might accidentally kill him.
Section 3, we didn't make any changes from last time.
Would you please change status as a Vietnam veteran? You just make that better. Where are you?
Where's it at?
3-1.
I think that's the typical warning.
Vietnam era.
Well, my question is, is this part of the law that the state will do this?
No, not. Yes. I agree 100% at all.
Yeah. It is? That's the verbiage we get?
That's the verbiage I was getting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I
can we take it out?
Because I don't think it's right to designate.
That would be part of the affiliation.
You're kind of targeting me.
Well, apparently there was something that came
about
Vietnam. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's specifically, you know,
Jane Fonda would hire.
No, Joe.
So Linda, you'll hire her.
I will check it, but I'm.
Yeah, I would think it was the status as a military veteran in there. But that covers all of them.
And she's going to check and see if I lost this otherwise.
Was that because you've written before we have?
Yeah,
we're at now. Well, I think this is
pretty good.
Take it in. But I will check for sure.
Well, it's odd that they even put it in there. Why not just the word better?
Somebody made it show it.
That's just like our concealed carry requirements for people to be take training. There is a clause in there. If you was a veteran of the Korean War and served as military police, you don't have to take the training.
Really?
That's the only people that's excluded. That's just a political deal.
Prior to the Vietnam era veteran being in there, veteran wasn't even there. There was nothing like that. So it is regarding that particular one. But I will get the law for
you.
Here it just says, or status as a covered veteran in accordance with applicable federal, state, and local laws. Society for Human
Resources.
On the EEO policy statement.
What if you have two employees that get married while they're employed?
Typically, what you do is you transfer one of them, but that's why I'm asking you.
It remedies, doesn't it? Stretches out for a long way. That happens in the house. So,
yeah.
A relative?
We need to have that.
It's always going to be that time. But there's a court case that we just had recently in Kent, in the collector's office, where the collector came in and I guess was supposed to see what relation the clerk that was there was. It wasn't my first thing, but it was the relation there. And she worked for her for like 3-4 years. And when her deputy retired or so forth, this person was in the logical one to appoint in the deputy position, but she's been there for many years. But she didn't feel because of what the relation was, so she gave the equal pay raises. She gave pay raises to all the employees, and that one was anyway, the auditor brought us heavy, they brought us heavy funds for the clerk, the collector won. She was a relative, and she got favored because she was employed in that office before and wasn't attempting to discrimination.
We had the it was from the Attorney General's office that represented the Attorney General's office, and Mac Worthy spoke to Methodism. And that's really what we're fiddling around. But what I didn't know, and I had previously been with Methodism, and we had Sheila and Tinker House. If my son, for example, worked on the Road and Bridge Department, I didn't hire him, previously Christian hired him. That's not a problem. But if I promote him above others and I vote on that, I lose my job.
Above others.
Something standard that's across the board, that's different. But because then you're looking at a new position. Then I would be involved in voting on that. I would lose my job. So.
So she did it without a deputy, and she gave him all the raises because that was fair.
I know that the state auditor pounded me like crazy on that. I had to write down for them what I knew, which was not a lot, what every single person here in this county, who they were related to.
Have fun with that.
It was fun. I'd never tell you. And then they come back and say, okay, how are these two people related? I don't know. We'll find out. Well, they're fourth cousins. Seriously, that's how far back they did.
I've got two cousins that work here
beforehand. Well, section D here explains what the relatives part of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
To the fourth, yeah, that's why the I know the ethics commission or everything was there.
But going back to what Ron said, if they were already employed, then you can take them on and treat them fairly, but not especially.
I mean, you've seen down in here individuals that are not legally related but live with another employee. So, then we have that going on.
Well, that's not part of nepotism, but would be part of this policy. It's just the purpose of this policy.
I bet in the future you're going to see that.
More that way.
My question is 3-7 section B. Do we want to leave that in or do we want to take that out?
That was my
question.
Section B. For example, RB. We've got 2 or 3 people who are related. This would mean that we have to do something different.
Sheriff, I don't know. I may have people that are related.
And
I don't hire anybody that's related that I have had a couple of them get married while they was working for me. And they're good employees, so I didn't get rid of them. B. 3-7B.
If somebody did.
I need to turn a page. One page at a time here.
Well, there's nothing
that says that relatives, I mean, as far as the state or anything, there's nothing that says that relatives can't work in the same department.
It's individual company, county policy, whatever.
And quite frankly, around here.
Well,
you know, seriously, I mean, it's kind of hard.
I found that people that were working here that I was related to, I didn't even know worked here until I ran for office.
I meet new cousins every day.
You and me both. I've got them in jail all the time.
Yeah.
you've had one of my second cousins in jail.
Shall we
I've never met him.
I say take it out.
Take
me out.
Gotcha.
I think we
have
problems.
Yeah.
I've never even seen him before.
I don't have a problem with C. That says that we feel there's a conflict with elected official to do something. But to make it automatic, I want to bring this up. Naval College Training Program, 1952. I know I showed this to two or three of you. When we went out following my wife's uncle's death and took care of the house and cleaned out, he was a hoarder. He was a Navy guy. This was their manual.
The entire manual.
Physical, this is the appendix for physical standards and disqualified defects. Okay. Highlighted it. Disqualifying defects. Extreme ugliness.
Seriously?
As far as their manual.
And how do you determine that?
That's the first one on there, too. the second one is unsightly deformities, large dirt marks, hairy bones.
Hairy bones.
Large hairy bones.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing. They dropped those compartments.
Oh my
That's too funny. That's wild.
Thank
you, Rob. That
was good, Rob.
Things have changed.
And nobody got
suits
on it.
Why do we have such a huge thing for procedure for hiring election judges, by the way?
Because it was a big thing.
Is it a big thing?
With the auditor's office, correct?
Yes. The issue was I was going to hire an individual to be an election judge for me, and I got quite a bit of static. And so Linda and I did a lot of research and pulled out all the laws that affect elected employees of the county that could be election judges, and that's why this doesn't help.
That's a
cool
take. Why did we put in here
that was one of the issues. When there's a statute that says that all election judges shall be paid the same. And so the only exception to that is people who work for me already, they cannot work as an election judge and paid a different amount. They have to be paid their hourly rate. But if they work for another office, it's like working for another company. As long as in their job, it's not their regular job. So if they don't do any of those transactions in their regular job, then they get paid the same rate as what an election judge is paid.
And they don't get paid their day's salary.
Yeah, they can if they take a vacation day or a comp time or something like that.
They don't get it paid as a work thing.
No, correct. No. The example would be an employee in Melanie's office, if she had a vacation day and wanted to work as an election judge for me, she could, and then I would pay her the same rate that I pay an election judge, and if she wanted to, she could take comp time pay or vacation pay, not sick pay.
So supervisory judges are no longer paid more than regular election judges?
Supervisory judges are paid more.
Somebody $301 for each election judge. that's the case, it would take me to write the same thing.
So you can't have another line in here.
Yes, the supervisor pays my account. I'll have to go back to you. Approved it. Ron, you and the other
commissioners.
Well, we put it in there because...
because we went through a whole big deal with the auditors over it.
Yes. But auditor.
If the commission changes that rate, do they will go change its manual?
Right.
Okay. That sounds good. Let's take the rate out.
Okay.
I don't have any objections to the rate. I'm not sure that we should put the amount in this bill.
Well, how about the same rate as the other election judges and other supervisors are paid? That they get paid the same rate as the other election judges and or other supervisor judges are paid. Then it's not a finite number. It's just whatever they're getting paid.
The supervisor union?
The supervisor, judge, or the election judge.
So is this in here really only to affect county employees that are serving as election judges?
Basically.
County employees, yeah. Whether they work for me or work for another office.
In the procedure statement.
Yes. And we did that because we had an exception brought up, and so...
Well, should we change this then to be procedures for hiring a county employee to serve as an election judge? Is it fine?
That would be fine.
I'm just asking. But you feel it's important enough, obviously, to have it in
there.
I'm not debating that. I'm just asking for my information.
Yeah. We have to educate an individual. Stronger.
I'm not sure this is going to take care of education.
It was not the individual who was working for me that had the issue.
Well, you've got training in here. We're going to pay them $20 to train them.
No, and they're there for 3 hours.
But we're leaving the pay in, changing the title.
We're taking the payout.
I'm just asking, if you look at one and you look at two, to me, one and two affects everybody, but number three refers to King County employees.
It looks like you're doing this to clarify for the county auditor's office because it says they're responsible for having that. It looks like that's what it was.
It looks like you could about condense this into one sentence where the Taney County clerk is responsible for hiring of all election judges, or maybe two sentences, and county employees can be hired as an election judge under regular election judge guidelines.
Well,
could we, and then just
check the information to this individual in a short form, and we were informed that they were going to go do additional research. We gave them the phone number and everything. We went and printed off copies. We had to prove everything, and that individual still caught it.
Yes. Could we do what Jimmy just said and provide them with this? Say what Jimmy just said, and then provide them with
the
information.
I'm all for simplifying it, just like Jimmy said. And obviously, the authority to hire anyone to serve as an election judge falls upon the county clerk, who is the election authority. And if you want to put rules in office, your office, and say, here's how this is going to work, I have zero objection to that.
Don't
you
fill out a thing to the office?
Thank you, but I would still like to have something in here that talks about procedure. Even if it's as little as employees who work for the county clerk can serve as election judges but have to be paid the same rate that they are being paid now. An employee from another county office that works for the county clerk would then be paid the same rate as all other election judges. But they would only be 2 or 3 cents. And then I don't have to do it.
But, I would just
personally, on my stuff, I don't want it to be so restricted that I have to come back to them to change the policy manual every time I have a change in what my procedure is.
You're very good, especially the rate. We need to take that up. Definitely. Can we condense it and bring it back to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I really believe that you could do this in one paragraph.
Yeah.
And then have a policy.
Just and then just give them the approved.
If this is the policy. If you don't bring it to the commission and say that's part of the policy, we can work with you on that. But it's kind of burdensome to this already, when it's burdensome. Okay. Yes, please.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No.
I don't like 310 where it says no employee shall receive a paycheck until they have completed orientation. I understand the part about filling out the paperwork, but
they can't until they've completed their I-9s or their W-4s.
I think that's just federal law.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And sign off that they understand the substance abuse policy, the other ones that are continued.
Okay, then we are added, though, as an employer, to sign a knowledge form stating that you have received and understood this manual. Receive and understood, I guess that would be all right.
Mm-hmm. They already do that.
I don't think we have to read this
in
time. No. I think you may be onto something there.
I know mine did know that because the morning they come into work and I said, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get their papers filled out and everything. They
come back to
work and, you know, they don't
set down the drop. No, they don't.
Back, you
know. That's okay. They've said they've signed and understand it.
And I am going to hit highlights and everything once we get the new manual in place with them. That's not done now, but I am going to do that to where they at least know if something triggers in their mind. Okay, there was something on that. Where was it? What was it about? Then you can say you've gone through the book with them.
Of course, before we hired them, we interviewed them. I'm sure each one was important, you know, their department and what they went over that with them.
Mm-hmm.
On 311, can we actually, the relinquishing department, can we actually delay the transferring to another department
that's
for
just,
1 month?
That's us. Maybe that's too.
Well, I just think it's not enforceable. If somebody wants to quit my office to work for Melanie, I can't do anything about it.
It says May.
Will. Sorry, May, yeah. That May, okay.
It's May.
May is May.
So I would take it out because it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I could ask Melanie to wait a month.
Well, it really allows, and I think the protection from you would be for your Sheila and tax side would be hard hit from the rest of the year. Tomorrow.
It goes back to teamwork.
Relationship.
Mm-hmm. And you may have an employee that says, no, I'm not staying here another month. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be, you know,
but then the other office
there
may not want to take them.
Yep.
On their time, you know.
Yeah, the way it's worded, that's kind of flipped up to the people who are working.
Right.
Thank you.
accrual rates for sick vacation holiday pay and program are based on $100 for position. I thought that an employee worked less than so many hours they were entitled to anything. So you work half time. I'm looking at the note of section 3-4.
Right.
You move to abolish the 20-hour work week at 50% minimum option.
This was from the previous, well, from the current manual, and I don't.
It doesn't say anything about three quarters. We did away with the half, but we didn't. We have working 30-hour work week, and we don't say anything.
32 40 hours, right?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a 30-hour.
It is 30. 30.
Or 10-hour days. Can't some of them work? Eliminate that and put 30-hour work week in there. We voted to abolish it, the 50% time. So that needs to be in there, but this 30-hour work week needs to be in the policy then, right?
So accrual rates for sick, vacation, holiday pay are prorated if you have an employee who works 30 hours or more, perhaps, could be some verbiage during the normal work week. That's where you're headed?
Yeah.
And we do have some people that are doing that.
Yes, we
have.
We do.
I know we've got 3 or 4 4-day-a-week employees, and they're getting 80% of the benefits.
And they pay the rest of the benefits.
And they pay the rest of the benefits themselves.
You say if it's prorated, if they work a 30-hour work week. Is that going to be for so many weeks in a row, continually working the 30-hour work weeks, or what? Mm-hmm. Because you may have them work 2 30-hour work weeks, and then be back on 10 if they want to prorate.
We have some employees that do work 30 hours, period, all the time.
But I have your issue. During the election year, I do work my people longer hours, and then later on they get to comp time. So I see the issue.
You know, I've got a part-time employee that doesn't get any benefits. Just works about 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
But there are times that if I've got a sequestered jury or something, he may work 40 hours a week.
But wouldn't that show up under your 1,040-hour?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Do we want to make it a number of hours per year? Do we want to make it, see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. No, I'll just be truthful with you. I think it's silly for us to have, and we discussed this a little bit last time, I think we ought to have a set vacation time that's from 1 to whatever 5 years, not you accumulate 2.5 hours every week. I think all that is nonsense.
I thought it was silly to start it.
Well, I really do. I just think that a person should have so much set vacation in a foreign plan. Date you want to set it, whether it's an annual date or the first of the year or whatever, then it increases by 5 year, 10 year increments or whatever you do, instead of having somebody have to work out and figure out exactly that somebody's got 2.5 hours that they can take vacation after they've worked over a week or two. I mean, it just doesn't make good sense to me. And then to have something wrote in your policy manual that says you abolish 50-hour work week, but you don't address 30-hour week, is a little bit confusing to people. You got 50% of the time covered, which doesn't mean anything because you've abolished it. You've got it wrote in here, but you got a 30-hour work week that we haven't even addressed as far as how they get paid or whether they do or not. So. Does anybody else see it that way? I mean,
I think that it's stated in 3-14 when it talks about that it's prorated. When we don't specifically say how many hours you have to work before this program is purchased and stuff, and then we can start to find it.
Mm-hmm.
It
says
that.
And we've redone the. We agreed upon 2 vacation plans at our last meeting.
I knew we had talked about it. Yeah. Whether we'd come to an agreement on it or anything. And like I said, I don't know if we'd come to a total agreement on anything. We're just kind of using this as a template. But I want to bring those up so you can either mark through it. Don't talk about a 50% if it's non-existent.
Let's see what is existing.
Let's see what is existing.
Let's work on the verbiage first.
For 314.
Yeah, I know. I see where it is. Is 314 saying that if you work 1,000 hours per year, it says accrual rates for sick and vacation holiday are prorated based upon the value of the hours of the position?
You're fine.
Welcome.
We just want to find okay, let me pick up what's going on with this product. Because I think very well. We have a statement here that says in 2011, you can abolish a 20-hour work week with a 50% premium option for each employee. And the very next statement says, we're giving you those if you only work that time. So we've got a conflict.
You want to take out
the. Well, it says if I'm approved by the county commission, the position may be eligible for benefits for a minimum of 1,000 work hours per year. So that's directly contradicted in the statement. So that's where he was headed in his comment at the meeting. So.
Was the other one, though, a definite? The lower it's under the county commission, maybe? Is that the difference? And I don't think about that.
That's
the
minimum of 1,000.
So that is above our. I'll take that. The commission moves to abolish the.
Take that
once
out.
Once that got through the employee manual.
Yeah,
it's old. Yeah. It's old. It was from the old manual.
Yeah, but you can't very well have the following statement in this manual if you kind of push the voter to do away with it.
Is it served
that
if you work 1,000 hours?
Yes, and
that
has to be kept.
So you're eligible for serve if you work 1,000 hours. Thank you. Not only are you up with it, but you are going to get 4%
That's what I'm
And while you all may not be enjoying a loss of that 4% chuck that I are enjoying the loss. Does that change?
So they never change that because they're supposedly in good shape. Yeah. Or is that something that the board has served good direct? This is another issue that I've wondered
about. It's actually legislative, isn't it?
The 4%? They to make them more sound, fiscally sound, they needed to do that. So they're assured that those monies will always be there. That we're contributing, that helps to grow.
Well, I think she's asking his grandfather. She's grandfathered in. Anything about
she's grandfathered in.
Now, what I meant was, when we get reports from CERB, if they are sound and how they're doing
in
the black budget and everything. So I was wondering if they would get this, that they can ever look at that and say, we are sound enough, we don't have to punish new hires. Because they could. Maybe go
from
4% to 3%.
Will they? Probably not.
Well,
who's
on the certain board with them?
I don't know who the representatives are anymore, but I don't know who's
on the board.
Wayne Locke, elected official, still represents Clark.
He was there last year.
No, Elaine Locke has gone off because Elaine Locke was for us. So she's going off because we built into our policy that once they stop being an elected official, they can't hold a position on the search board anymore. And even though that's not in search regulation, it really doesn't work.
And I know that the assessor from Keith Robinson was just retired. And he represented the assessor. I said that he was in the Jerry.
If a temporary employee is transferred to a benefit eligible position without a break in service, the employee will receive a balance of vacation and sick leave calculated from the first day of temporary employment.
I don't know. We're not doing that now.
No, we're not.
I mean, that's not part of our current policy. This is, again, this is a template taken from different policies.
Mm-hmm. Why would you do that?
I don't know, but right now, for example, we have four individuals that can serve as temporary employees in our year. Four?
Mm-hmm.
That we bring into the system.
Yeah.
That's some other people left. So I just raised the question the other day, when we go back, will they be allowed to get the benefits?
The answer for the medical insurance is
no.
No, they can't. They have to wait.
Mm-hmm. We have declared them
full-time.
In order to be...
That seems unfair to me, to those who are working so far.
But that's the way that we...
They were hired.
We tried to approach it the other way. We tried to give them a benefit of working for 5 or 6 months and then just putting them on, but this wasn't allowed for the insurance company.
It's discriminatory if you do, because you're doing it for one and not another.
This verbiage then will be in conflict with that.
So we need to take that out.
If the temporary employee is transferred to a benefit eligible position, that rate service employers need to balance and make use.
This is kind of vacation sick leave. We're talking about medical benefits on the
as well,
right?
Mm-hmm. But I.
Well, now hold on. She asked
some, and that's, yes, I was going to say that too. Some employees I think we hire with vacation and stuff, others we do not. It's an individual thing that I've noticed.
Yes, this employee will be ridden with the length of service from the initial date of hire by the county.
Or vacation and sick and whatever.
But you may have a temp employee who's been a temp for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair. I just think.
Sir, are you going to give them full credit for that time?
I don't know how you can do that if they've only been a temp employee at birth. They've only worked 2 days a week or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't put in.
But you're going back to the first day of hire.
Well, you know, they went back to your first day of hire until you started, lock up.
Probably, to be fair to everyone, we should take it out.
Yeah. And if you didn't work full time, I could see, and if you only worked 2 days, I thought it wouldn't be fair to give them full benefits.
I mean, for hired as temp employees, they're hired with the understanding that they're not
getting benefits.
Not only that, at least for the medical benefits, there's something that we have to sign almost substating that.
Right. It's not written into our provisional.
They're not considered full time.
They're not eligible.
I think that entire paragraph.
Go back.
But if the temporary employees transferred all the way down, all the way. Now, Linda, is there a way that we can look at something other than that, when we know what commission is there, I'd like to know that so that we can bring this test basis as a group. Because if you have somebody that you utilize temporary full time,
that's a difference,
right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Right.
The train, but we can't give a medical until we call them full time, not temporary. In that case, the 90 days, 60, 90 days, what is it? 90 days. However, would we be able to do anything different as far as vacation, as far as the other benefits that the county provides? And I don't know the answer, so I'd like to know the answer to that.
I can understand if it's somebody that's worked 40 hours a week, mm-hmm. but if it's somebody that I've used today, maybe you've used them a couple of weeks before, and I've got the person that's in that position right now. She comes in, Aaron Stoll. Mm-hmm. She's trained as a dispatcher. She left us to go take care of her father. But she comes back every now and then. We're talking right now. We're down to.